This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Matthew, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. For the interest of time, I got 35 minutes, so I have to move very quickly here. By the way, I want to say enjoy this time. It's good when we're small, few numbers like this. We can chat, we can talk. When you have 1,000 people, you can't do this anymore. Enjoy this while we have it. So there's a time when I want to talk about the number as a believer, as a child of God. The thing that is most important after you are saved, when you start to walk, we start our walk with God. I want to talk about the important thing that we should keep in mind as we go on with our spiritual lives. So, there was a time when some people came to Jesus and they asked him, what's the greatest commandment, right? What's the first commandment? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that is where? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay? So, first of all, you notice that when someone came to Jesus and asked him, what is the most important commandment? Jesus didn't say to him, well, they're all important. Just go obey all of them. Right? He did say that there's one commandment that was above all of them. That first of all tells you right there that there are truths in the Bible, but not all truths are equally important, right? It is a mistake. There are two ways when you study the Bible or when you teach or preach the Bible. There are two ways that you cannot be a dishonest person. One is by saying things that are unbiblical. Two is by giving disproportionate emphasis to various things. Some people take one verse and they make it the most important thing in the church. So in some places they only talk about miracles. But then you get a problem with that because the Bible says that John did no miracles, just not one. But Jesus said, of all the women born of man, he's the greatest. What made him great, right? You have to answer that. We have to give things the right importance that the Bible gives to them, right? And there are some arguments and stuff that people get into that sometimes I don't get, not because I disagree with the person, but just because I know this person has given this particular truth here disproportionate importance. There are some places where all they talk about is woman head covering in the church and things like that. That's their thing. It's like, you got to cover your head. Come, they don't cover your head in their head in your meeting and things like that. And I usually don't argue with this, not necessarily because I disagree with them, but because I'm like, how many verses in the Bible talk about that? You know how many verses, there are more verses against gossiping. Then there are, again, yes, there is. The Bible said about the slander. You know how many times the Bible warns against slander? A bunch of times. How many times does it talk about head covering? One passage, right? So it's like, you can't, that's the way to go astray, not only by saying to people things that aren't true, but by emphasizing things that are unimportant or not as important as other things. And there are some things that only have temporal, some truths in the Bible, by the way, that only have temporal consequences and have no eternal consequences. You have to differentiate between those two. Otherwise, you're going to be getting into things that later in eternity, you look back and be like, what was I doing spending all my time? So, in other words, make sure you don't major in minors. There are some things that are major. There are some things and then there's also truths that we can do something about and truths we can't do anything about, right? So one of the reasons why I also don't like getting, for example, into end time discussions and so on, right? So because there are people who believe the rapture is before the tribulation, some who they call them pre-trib, and those who are in trib, they believe the rapture is during the trib, and then there are those who believe it's after the tribulation, right? So the truth is that that's something you can't do anything about, right? Doesn't matter what my opinion or your opinion is. The rapture is going to happen whenever it's going to happen. Whether you, if you believe pre-trib and it happens in trib, there's nothing you can do. But there's something. So there's something that you can do. The thing that you can do something about is whether you're going to be ready when the rapture does happen, right? So, but then people get into all these discussions when they're arguing about which one is going to be. But then yeah, you sit there and you wonder, are any of these three people ready when it will, when it does happen? For that one, the Bible does give us a lot of passages on that. You know, how to love your neighbor and stay away from, you know, the debauchery and be ready for when Christ comes. That the Bible has. So there's what I'm trying to say. There's not every. You have to keep that in mind, especially for those of you who. Now or one day will be in a position where you are helping other people grow in their spiritual life. Make sure you differentiate between truths. Not everything is equal in the Bible. Okay, so but Jesus says here, this is the greatest commandment. So if you believe that, this is the thing that you're gonna keep at the top of your list, right? In your spiritual priorities, whenever you're checking yourself, you'll be like, am I making progress? And the number one thing is you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all with your whole being, okay? And I'm not today going to get into what's the difference with your heart and your soul and your mind and so on. But let me just say that God wants us to love Him with everything that we have, right? With your body when you in what you use it for, in how you carry yourself, use it to love God. With your mind, apply yourself just like we apply ourselves. You love somebody, a human being, you use your mind to find a way to show and express that love and so on. Use your whole being and your soul, your emotion and so on. Everything has to be involved in loving the Lord. It is the priority. So that's the first question. And I want to share with you from, there is one person in the Bible who loved Jesus a lot. And there's a lot to learn from her. And it's in John chapter 20. We're going to read a bunch of verses there. We got to read the whole story. So we read John chapter 20, the first 18 verses. Once someone begin, and when you read it, you reach a stopping point, you know, so you can let someone else continue to read from there. So chapter 20, verse 1. Okay, who wants to start? Amen. All right. So Mary Magdalene was one of those people, ladies in the Bible, who had a special relationship with Jesus. She loved him. There are other passages of scriptures that some of you may know that talk about her various interactions with Jesus. And, you know, one thing that is striking here is that this is after Jesus was crucified and his body has been placed in the tomb, right? In the morning, various people went there to the tomb. The Bible says that when they got there, right, Mary and some of the other ladies, actually, we know from the other accounts of this story, Mary and some of the other ladies went to the tomb, and they found that the tomb was empty, right? And later, Peter and Simon Peter and John, who is not naming himself, but he's the one that the Bible says the disciple that Jesus loved, they came to the tomb and they found out that it was empty. You know, they entered the tomb, they looked, and they didn't see him. And the Bible says that Peter and John, they went back, right? But the Bible says that in verse 10, then the disciple went back home, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. So here's the thing, right? They were told that Jesus is buried in this place. They had all heard that Jesus will rise again from the dead. And they went to the tomb, and they saw that there was evidence that he wasn't there. And for these two disciples, for Peter and for John, that was sufficient. They saw the empty tomb and they turned back and they left, right? So this is like people who, they were content with the knowledge that the tomb was empty. But he himself, they didn't see, right? This is similar to people who are content with knowing things. They know that Jesus rose from the dead. They have biblical knowledge. They have the factual understanding. All their facts are correct. But then the truth is, they don't have a desire or a hunger or a love to say, no, what I want is the Lord. What I want is Jesus Christ. It's good that the tomb is empty. It's good that he rose again, but where is he, right? That love for the Lord is what is not seen here. You see, John is the Bible calls him the disciple that Jesus loved, but he was not the disciple that loved Jesus the most, right? Mary here is the person who shows the love and the care for the Lord. And, you know, after she stood there crying, saying, no, I'm not happy with the tomb just being empty. I want to find him. Where is he? And that has to be the cry in the heart of a Christian. God, I'm not just satisfied with knowledge. I'm not just satisfied with some intellectual understanding of facts and things like that. It's like someone who is hungry. You can describe food to them. You can describe a recipe of food to them. But they will have nothing in them will be satisfied until they actually take the food and consume it. It is something like that. Never be satisfied with just having biblical knowledge. The number one commandment is not that you will know about the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your head, and with all your mind. The command is that you will love him. And to love someone, you have to know him. You got to go ahead and somehow get to him somehow, you know. And that's what Mary was doing. She wanted the Lord. And the next thing that happened is interesting. You know, in verse 10 is that when the others left and went, Mary still stood by the tomb and she was weeping. While she was weeping, God did hear her crying, and he sent two angels in the tomb, right? The Bible says there were two angels dressed in white, seated one at the at the head where Jesus' head had been, the other where the feet had been. Now, I want you to stop for a second and think about this, right? Because these are some things that we read pretty quickly. If you saw two angels, what would be your reaction, right? I think in the whole Bible, I don't think that there is one encounter. There are many encounters with, between human beings and angels throughout the whole Bible, right? There isn't one where the human being couldn't care less about the angel as on this one, right? This got to be the most, if you were the angel, you probably would be offended, right? You'll be like, this person, we've appeared to people before. We never have seen a human being like this who saw two angels and were like, where is he? Go away. It's like, people are like, if it was today, someone saw an angel, they would have run and gone to church. Guys, I got a testimony, right? I was at the tomb and I saw two angels. And then people would have come around them. So what did they look like? What did they do? And then they'll go ahead and write a book. They'll be invited on Christian TV to give their testimony and so on and so on. And they spend their whole lives talking about, no, this is what happens. You hear people years ago, 25 years ago, that I had a vision. And over the years, they add to it. They add things that were not even true. They mix it in there. And they amaze people with that. Mary was not like that. She was saying, she told them, they were like, woman, why are you crying? She said, they have taken my Lord away. I don't know where they've put him, right? So this is the person who loves God. The other thing that you cannot be satisfied with is spiritual experiences, right? There are people who just want to see miracles and see supernatural stuff. Mary saw that, but that did not satisfy her, right? She was like, no, this is not enough. It's not just that you're not satisfied with theology and having fact, but it's also there has to be something in you that's like, God, look, I'm not interested. It's good. The angels is good. It's fine. But Lord, in the miracles and the supernatural stuff and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues, all these things are good. But the Bible does not say you will love miracles with all your heart, with all your soul. It says you will love the Lord your God. It is Him that you're going to seek for, and it is Him that you're going to love. Okay, and these are ways in which people go, we go astray. The truth is that when we first came to Christ, this is was the important thing, right? Remember we watched the video of the lady who was rescued. For those who were here, you know, one of the things that just gets to me in that testimony every time I watch it, it never goes old for me when I listen or watch it. I don't think that was in the video, but in the audio of it, there is where she said that I fell so in love with Jesus that I didn't understand who is this man who loved me so much that he would die for me. And she said, they gave me a Bible. I will sneak out in the middle of the night, go downstairs where there was a light, and I will just read and read and read about this man who loved me enough to save me. That's when you know someone has really, something has really happened to them. And she said, I knew my life will never be the same again. And she says at the end, you know, and I'm more in love with him today than I was, you know, 30 whatever years ago when I first met him. It is someone who never lost the thought and the idea that the number one thing is that I love him. And I want you, the sad thing is that as we progress and we get into the Christian life and we feel that we become wiser and stronger. Anybody been there where you feel like you become being a Christian or so, you become wiser and stronger? We develop other priorities, right? There's other priorities that come there. We start spending more time trying to be, okay, how can I become a better minister? Or how can I go ahead and do more things for God? And that's not it. Or we begin to pursue the supernatural. Or we begin to pursue theology. Or we begin to pursue any of this. None of these things are bad. But the truth is just that none of these things is Jesus. None of these things is Christ. Pray if prayer is going to help you get to Him. Read the Bible if the Bible is going to get to Him. Do you know that even the Bible can be a trap? The Bible says that, you know, when these wise men came from the east, they came to the priests and they asked him, we've come for the King of the Jews. Where should he be born? The people say, yeah. The priests say, yeah. Micah chapter whatever, you know, in Bethlehem, that's where he will be born. But the thing is that they didn't go, right? They told the wise men. The wise men went. But the people who gave them the information didn't go, right? So that's, and later, those are the same people who later crucified Jesus. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you study the scriptures because you think in them you will find eternal life. Those are the scriptures that speak of me. In other words, read the scripture. If they were reading the scripture in order to love God and to find God, they would have seen that the scripture were pointing to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But that's not why they were reading it. They were reading it to gain social status. They were reading it so they can impress people. They were reading it so they could get knowledge. And I want to tell you one thing that it's always a huge trap is when you start trying to find glory for yourself through the things of God, right? In other words, let's say you start to sing, and then you start to sing so that you can impress people at church. Or you start to teach and you start to share the word of God so that you can impress people at church. Or you begin to serve and do various things so that you can impress people at church. That's always a trap. It always will lead a person to a kind of hypocritical spiritual life where they begin to die. You know, the first people who the first tragedy you see in the New Testament after the Holy Spirit comes is Ananias and Sapphira, right? What was their sin? If you really study that story carefully, I won't get into that right now. But if you study that story carefully, what was their issue? The real problem was not that they lied, right? They did lie, but what did they lie? If you read that story in context, it's because the Bible says that Barnabas went and sold the field and gave the money to help the poor. And people who were selling their fields were coming and giving. People were selling, when the church began, people were being so generous. People were selling their properties, coming and giving the money to help the poor. And somehow it became like, yeah, something that you could gain honor from. So Ananias and Sapphira also wanted to be counted as one of those who sacrificed and gave them everything to God. And so they went. It was a pursuit of glory in the eyes of men. That's what led them to go ahead and lie. So, but they didn't have the heart for it. The truth is that Barnabas was a single man who was not married. He had an extra field. He was going to be going out as an evangelist. So he went and sold his field and gave all the money. These people who were in a different circumstances of life, but who wanted to be considered in the holy club of those who give everything and sell it and things like that. They went and sold it, but they realized they couldn't really do what Barnabas, so they kept some of the money, but they tried to lie that they did. And for that, they died, right? So that's always a trap. And it's always when we get away from this simplicity of seeking the Lord. For those of you who are married, right? Imagine a person who is you're married to someone, and this person cooks for you and they do all these things. They do your laundry, they clean your house, they do all the things. But the only thing is just they don't love you anymore, right? So, and someone gives you a choice and says, here, we're gonna give you, choose one or two spouse. This spouse here, there will be, your house is going to be shiny, squeaky clean, and your food's going to be amazing. She's going to do all these things. This person is going to do all these amazing. The only thing is they're not going to love you, right? So here is this other one here who is going to be lazy and will not be doing anything for you. Your house is going to be a mess and all these things. And so, but this person will love you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all your mind. Which one will you pick? Right. If you say you'll pick the one who will do all the stuff for you, we gotta pray for you after the meeting and lay hands on you, right? And the And look, it's like that with God, right? Yes, we serve the Lord, but the truth of the matter is, God is not looking for people who just do stuff for Him, looking for people who love Him. And, you know, there isn't much of a record of ministry that Mary Magdalene did. But we come back to that in the end. But one thing she's remembered for, she loved Him. And lastly, here, she stood there crying, the Bible says. And finally, someone appears to her, right? But before I go on, let me say this. You see the thing in this story that kind of makes me embarrassed when I read it? All this crying and all these things that this woman was doing, right? She wasn't doing it actually for the living Jesus. She was looking for the body. She was looking for the dead body. She didn't know He rose from the dead. The Bible says that clear. They didn't understand that yet. So all this lingering there and crying and ignoring the angels and then things like that, she was looking for the guy's body. It is a shame that most believers care less about the living Christ than Mary Magdalene care for the dead one. She was looking for the body. She loved Him so much that even when she knew that the only thing she could get was the physical remains of the person, she was willing to stay there and cry and weep and so on, right? So that's why I was saying that some of these things we read quickly and we move on. But there's a reason why the Bible devotes all these verses to this lady. It's because she loved the Lord. And while she's sitting there, and I wanna say what I said last Sunday. God is not, there's no favoritism with Him, right? He reveals Himself to those who seek Him. Why was Mary Magdalene the first person that Jesus appeared to after He rose from the dead? Do you know what a privilege that is? You're the first person who saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Why was it given to her, not to Peter? He was the boss, right? Wasn't he? He was the chief of the apostles, right? And Jesus said that to him. And he went to the tomb and he was empty, went back home. But for this lady who stayed there crying and weeping, I want Him, I want Him, I want Him, I want to see Him, I want to see Him. Jesus appeared to that person. When she lingered long enough, when she got to the point where God knew, okay, this woman is not going to stop bothering me. Even if I send her angels, she's not going to stop crying and so on. At that point, Jesus appears to her. And at first, she doesn't recognize Him, right? And she even, when He said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking it was a gardener, she's like, "Sir, if you've carried Him away, tell me where they put Him that I will get Him." And then Jesus calls her by her name, Mary. She turns around and, it's one of those things in the Bible that someone should make a painting of when the excitement of Mary when she realizes that not only did she find Him, but she found Him alive. And it wasn't the dead body anymore. You know, and there Jesus begins to talk to her, to reveal things to her, that this is your Father. I'm going to my God who is your God. And then she tells to Mary, "Now go and tell, give this message to my brothers." Okay? This is how ministry is born. I said that there's not a lot of ministry that we have a record of that Mary did. But this is the, to me, this is the purest kind of ministry. A person was seeking after Jesus, not after stuff. She wasn't seeking to do things and so on. This person just wanted Christ. When Christ reveals himself to her, Christ then tells her, now go and announce this thing to people on my behalf. Here's what I want you to do for me. Every ministry must be born out of intimacy with God. When we've lost touch with Jesus Christ, there's nothing that we can do for him that will please the heart of God. This was not someone, and you see, I don't know what your theology is, but some people, those who say a woman can't talk and things like that, the first evangelist was her. She went and she told people he's risen. Isn't that what an evangelist is? You go and you tell people that Jesus Christ is risen. She went and told them. And to this day, that is something that no one can ever take away from her. She is the person to whom Christ showed himself to first. Later, he showed himself to others. You read that later in that same chapter 20. But she had that one-on-one time with Jesus Christ by that tomb that no one would ever be able to take away from her. You know, in the few minutes I don't have left, I'm going to say a few things. So there's a church in, Jesus writes seven letters to seven churches in the book of Revelation, right? The very first one is written to the church in Ephesus, right? And Jesus says to that church, he lists all the good things about them. You've worked hard for me. You have tested those who claim to be prophets and apostles, but you proved them false. You hate the works of evildoers in Nicolaitans, like I hate them also. You've remained faithful to me, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of stuff there that Jesus said. This is an excellent, if you have a church like that, with those good things that you say, it's an excellent church. But say, well, one thing that you have against you is you lost your first love. You left it, right? And that's in Revelation chapter 2. You left it. And Jesus says to them, actually, he doesn't say, look, it's not, you know, it will be nice if you come back. He tells them, if you don't, he said, remember from where you have fallen and repent. And do the things that you did at first. Or in some translation, go back to your former works. And he said, if you don't, then I'll take away your lampstand from you. And that church doesn't exist, obviously, today. It's a Muslim area today. And obviously, their lamp was taken away because they excelled in a lot of things, but not just in the first commandment, right? It is possible to be excellent in a lot of things, but to miss the most important thing, which is to love the Lord. Now, I don't know exactly, but it doesn't tell us, I don't want to speculate what exactly happened with those people in Ephesus. When Paul was leaving them, he told them, watch out, you know, because there are wolves that will come within you, they'll try to take this. They guarded against that. They did keep his advice on that, as Jesus commends them on that passage. But the thing that they did lose is that they lost their first love for the first love for the Lord. Now, how do we make sure that we maintain our love for the Lord, right? I'm going to give you just a couple of things. The Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. Every now and then, remember and meditate on the fact that Christ loved you so much, right? And it is when we lose sight of how good God has been to us, we begin to take certain things for granted. We forget. And you can read it later. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus says about a woman that the one who's been forgiven much, loves much. The one who has been forgiven little, loves little. right? It's in Luke chapter 7, verse 40-something. Yeah, maybe we should look at it. Luke chapter 7. Someone read it as verse 47.
Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.
Yeah. The one who has been forgiven little loves little. The one who's been forgiven much loves much. But the truth is that all people have been forgiven much. Some people realize that they've been forgiven much, and some people don't realize that they've been forgiven much. If you sit down and think about the things God has forgiven you for, you know, just even if you just take the sins of the attitude of the heart, the jealousy, the envies, the pride and the arrogance, all these things that we've had, the thoughts and all that kind of the stuff, God has forgiven us of much. And when you remember that how much God has forgiven us, Jesus says that would automatically cause you to love Him more. And the other thing that I will say, that's in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love for God is something that you cultivate. Just like with a human being, you cultivate the love with the person, or else it's going to die. Right? You cultivate love with God. You make sure that you do the things that are consistent with that love growing. Jesus says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do the things that you know pleases the Lord. When you love someone, you commit yourself to pleasing them. It is what love is. You commit yourself to pleasing that person. You find out the things they like, you do more of them. You find out the things they dislike, you avoid them. You love me, you will keep my commandments. And the more, that's why when people say, when people are living in various sin, but then they say, but I love God, you don't know my heart, right? You don't know my heart, I love God, right? Jesus said that's impossible. You cannot love Him and do the things that displeases me. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when we make sure, you know, we keep in mind that the Lord forgave us, how much He loved us, and in our daily lives, we're making sure that we're walking in the way that please Him. We get closer and closer and closer to Him. And it becomes like a feedback loop where we seek God, He reveals Himself to us, that makes us love Him more. We love Him more, so therefore we seek Him more. We seek Him more, we get to know, He reveals a little bit more of Himself to us. We get to know Him more, we get to love Him more, and it goes on and on like that. And that's how you grow spiritually from 1 year to the next year, to the next year, to the next year, okay? This is just a reminder to us, you know, Jesus says that in the last days, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many people will grow cold, you know? And today, one of the things that, there are two things that Jesus said at the end of the time, as we get closer and closer and closer to the end of this age. There are two things that He wondered that is going to become rare. One is love for God. The other is faith, right? He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? And those two things, if you look in people's lives, you look around, you just look at your own life, you look at the lives of some of your Christian friends and so on, you will see that these are the two things that are lacking. People loving God and people having basic, strong, simple faith and trust in God. Those are the two things the devil is attacking. Making sure that you don't love God, making sure you don't trust Him either. Right? Protect these two things. Make sure that above every, do things for God, do things for the Lord, do ministry, do all these things. But make sure that you are growing in your love for God. Invest in your love for the Lord. If you're reading the Bible, read it, say, God, show yourself to me in this book. You praying, saying, God, I want to know you, reveal yourself to me. And God will do that. Amen.